and welcome back to Braincast. This episode features a Q&A panel of five undergraduate students who've completed the Junior Research Assistant Programme here at Sussex, as well as other neuroscience-related summer internships. We'll be asking them questions submitted by you, giving you the chance to hear about their experiences and the advice they'd offer to students looking to follow a similar path. So join in as we get an inside look into their journeys. Hello and welcome back to Braincast. This week's episode is a Q&A panel featuring five neuroscience students who have recently completed their research-based internship. So thanks for joining us, everyone. And to start with, can we get a little introduction from everyone? Should we start with Francesca?
Hi, I'm Francesca. I just completed the Unique Plus research internship at the University of Oxford. It's a seven-week program, and you spend 6 of those 7 weeks in a lab, or I think there's a range of different projects, so there's also like more data analysis or like systematic review type projects. But and my projects involved looking at Parkinson's and looking specifically at these processes, mitophagy and autophagy, which are kind of the process of degrading misfolded proteins, any dysfunctional organelles, things like that. And that's thought to be a dysfunctional process in Parkinson's that contributes to the aggregation of these alpha-synuclein proteins that are characteristic of the disease progression. That was a bit about my project.
Lakavi, do you want to go next?
Hi, my name's Lakavi. So I did the Experience Postgraduate Life Sciences, or what we call EPLS as short, at the University of Cambridge. I did it in the summer of 2023. It's quite similar to the Unique programme, i.e. you've got like 8 weeks to do research. But the one thing I think I found really nice was that we did a specialised RStudio programme that was focused on data, just like showing data off and presenting it, which I found really useful, I think, when it comes to presenting data. And I was at this psychiatric lab based in the Department of Psychiatry, and we were looking at what we called as the Time Flies at Different Speeds project. And I was looking at the psychological test to see how time was in different speeds with people that took particular illicit drugs.
Great, thank you. And Clara, do you want to go?
Hello, I am a third year neuroscience student in Bristol Uni. Over this summer just gone, I did the Unique internship as well. My project was looking at familial Alzheimer's in Drosophila, and I was looking at whether a characteristic of Alzheimer's is the aggregation of APP, amyloid precursor protein, and my specific familial gene was ARTIC, and I wanted to see whether overexpressing ARTIC goes through the aggregation process, like does it properly aggregate, or does it just stick on the cell membrane? So yeah, that was my project.
Nice, very cool. Ray, do you want to go next?
So hi, my name's Ray. I'm a final year undergrad at Sussex Uni. I did my junior research internship in the summer of 2024 at Sussex Uni. I did it with School of Psychology, and my project in basically the title of my project was understanding the impact of variable attention on predictive processing of speech. So basically just to see how visual attention would impact speech processing in different tasks. So I had to run EEG studies for that.
Nice. And Daniel?
Hi, I'm Daniel. I also did the JRA at Sussex. I'm also a Sussex student in final year. I did my project, I did a psychophysical experiment also in psychology, kind of within that and neuroscience. And we looked at visual snow syndrome and how that related to what people see in complete darkness and whether or not both of those perceptions had anything to do with photoreceptors. So that's what I did.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Just as a general opener question, can we start with, does anyone want to tell us what made them want to apply for an internship in the first place? You can raise your hand up or just go for it if you want to.
I'm happy to go for it. So I guess I was looking for I've always struggled in labs, like knowing what was going on, keeping up with it, keeping up with like the protocols, what we were supposed to do, and I just wanted to see if I thought the lab environment was for me. And it's really hard to get like research experience as an undergrad. So I just wanted to see what was out there. Yeah, and gain more skills for future applications.
Great, yeah. Does anyone else want to go, or shall I move on to the Q&A questions? Go on, Clara.
I'll go next. So for me, kind of similar to Francesca, I, in my first 2 years of uni, had a bit of imposter syndrome where I felt everybody else was smarter than me and I don't even know why I'm in this course. I enjoy it, but everyone else is smarter. So when I saw the Unique Plus advertised, I initially thought, oh, I don't think I would be accepted, the whole imposter syndrome thing. But then I thought, no, I'll give it a go. I'll see what happens. And, it might give me a more positive, it might remind me of why I love neuroscience so much. So I applied. And as well as, getting experience, it was also maybe a way to prove to myself that this is where I'm supposed to be. So I think that's why for me, I went ahead with this internship.
Great answer. Thank you. Ray, do you want to go?
Yeah, no, I kind of just want to add on to that, the idea of imposter syndrome that Clara talked about, that is very prevalent and honest, I'm not even gonna lie, I still get it to this day. But for me, one of the main reasons I applied to lab was when I was applying to Sussex initially, I knew about JRA, so I knew I wanted to apply for it. But at the same time, while doing my degree, I sort of realized that I sort of try to understand whether lab was for me or not, because there are other fields and other careers that I want to explore as well. And so just working in more of a lab setting and trying to figure out if that's for me was also one of the main reasons that I applied to the internship. And yeah, it kind of helped and help me understand what aspects of research do I really like.
Amazing, thank you. Does anyone else want to go? I'll move on to the Q&A. Okay, so with the Q&A questions, the first question is, how did you guys find out about internship opportunities? Go on, Ray.
So the one that I applied to was within the university that I study in. So it wasn't really hard. Sussex usually does advertise that they are launching their JRA program fairly often. And also, if there are Sussex students listening to this, there are also other internship programs that you can apply to if you go to the Canvas website and stuff like that, or you go to the careers website. There are usually other internship opportunities that Sussex lists, but a lot of the other internship opportunities that I find try that I found that I applied to as well that align with my sort of what I wanted to do in terms of the kind of projects I wanted to do. It was honestly kind of just Googling places that might hire interns and labs that might be looking for interns and looking at whether they're taking an intern. So that's pretty much how I found the internship.
Great, okay. Clara?
So for me, mine was very unorthodox. So touching up on what I said previously, I did not think I was worthy of an internship. I know it sounds so sad, but so I didn't really look for one, even though I knew I need to do one in order to build up my CV and get experience. But I think at this point of my life, I was so burnt out. But I kid you not, I was studying for exams in last January, and I got an ad on like in between two stories on Instagram, and it was the Unique Plus, and that's how I found out about it. And I thought, I think it was the first two times I was like, nah, this is, you know, it's a bit sketchy as it's on Instagram. Like, it's probably not legit, or it's not as good as, you know, a proper, you know, internship. They're quite, you know, underground. You have to find them. But I think it was after the second time I saw it on my Instagram and I checked it out and I saw it was legit. And then I thought, oh, okay, I'll apply. But it's a very unorthodox way of getting an internship, but that's how I found mine.
That's really cool. I was gonna say the same thing. I haven't heard about Instagram advertising that, but that is really cool. Does anyone else want to go? No. Okay. The next question is, how did you try to stand out in your application and demonstrate a unique skill set? I guess that's relating to CVs or any other applications that you submitted. Yeah, do you want to go, Lakavi?
I think for me, I really, when I was doing the medical neuroscience module, the 45 credit one, we did like an essay or like a little mini project, and I really enjoyed my one. I did well in it, and I was like, you know what, I actually would like to look into it a little bit deeper. And when I looked at the EPLS program, I was like, they just said, oh, whatever lab you would like to, you know, look into, just mention, or just mention the department or thing you want to work with. And I was like, this is perfect because I can just build on, I guess, the idea or the literature that I'd read before in the essays. So that was something that I've mentioned in my application. I was like, guys, I really want to, you know, look into this. And I've already had some idea on the literature, and this is what I would like to look into. So I think in that way, for anyone who's applying to an internship program, don't feel pressured to say something, but at the same time, if there is something that you are keen to look into, mention that, and mentioned, I guess, the way you looked into it in your essay, and if there was any gaps in the literature, and I guess like what you would like to do if you were on the program. And something else I said was, I guess, my interests for the future, and I guess career prospects that I wanted to have. I really wanted to look into research in the future. So that was something else that I mentioned as well. But just be honest, and I think Francesca was, when we were talking about our like experiences when applying together, we were both like, we were very honest, and it really showed in the labs that we got picked, and it was very much kind of linked to who were as people, and yeah, like our interests. So that's the tips I would give.
Great, thank you. Clara, do
So
you
I wanted to touch up on the being honest thing. So for me, when I did the application process, I was very honest and very vulnerable, I would say. I tried to avoid the typical I'm passionate about this and bragging. You have to brag a certain extent, but you have to also show, you know, your vulnerability and also what you're passionate in without being too robotic almost. So I think for me, I would say just maybe sit down, think about, you know, your motives. Why do you want to do this? And just kind of talk from the heart instead of the generic, oh, you should say this, you should say that. That looks impressive. You just sound very robotic. And I think at the end of the day, you know, science fields, they do want a more human approach instead of a typical professional robotic approach. So I'd say that's my tip as well.
Marie, do you want to go?
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I kind of like I absolutely agree with what everyone said. Like, when applying to internships, because I was really stressed when applying to my internships. I was really stressed that why would anyone pick my application? Like, my grades are like fairly decent, but I still don't have like a lot of experience. A lot of my friends who like have a lot of coding experience and stuff like that. The kind of lab I was applying to, I didn't really have a lot of that experience. I had some basic stuff. But what's important is when you're applying to internship, you need to remember you're not applying for a full-time job. So then they don't expect you to know everything. You need to show that, like, okay, these are things I know, but I would like to build on them. For example, like the kind of topic I chose, I had quite a bit of reading on it because it's something that really interested me. But then I also explained that I have not looked into this topic in a more experimental setting. Like, it was my first time working with EEGs. And also it was my first time coding in MATLAB and stuff like that. So like I have not done that, and I would like to gain that experience, and it would be useful in the future. So some labs, obviously they would expect you to know some things, like very basic things, but they don't expect you to have like a knowledge of someone with a master's degree or a PhD. They know that you're an undergrad, so just tell that, like just express what you want to learn, like what you know, what you want to learn, and what you want to build on. And I think like that's really important in terms of like applying.
Yeah, definitely. Francesca, do you want to go?
So I just wanted to add to what Ray said really quickly. Like, it was perfect what you said about it not being like a job application. Instead of looking for someone that can fulfill the role straight away, they're looking for someone with potential. So I think it's great to kind of show why you're interested, and what background knowledge you have, but how you'd like to build on it and how you want more from it. That's a good model to have. Like, I have this understanding, I've looked at it in this way, but I'd like to learn more about it if it's in an experimental setting, like you said. I'd like to learn these skills, develop these skills, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Daniel, do you want to go?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's very good. I think, I mean, I completely agree. I think we were talking about sort of being confident, but also not feeling like you have to know too much. There's also a balance there. I think it's important to also, when you're doing it, to be confident in the background knowledge that you do have, and also taking that and then joining that with, being very open and enthusiastic about what you don't know. And when you display both of those things, I think it makes it a lot easier for, the selection people, whoever are making the big shots, to kind of relate to you, understand you, and want you on the program.
Great. Thanks, guys. Some great answers. So the next question, shall I move on to the next one? Yes. Okay. The next question is, did you customize your application for each internship if you applied to multiple different internships?
I can answer that one. I did have to customize my application slightly because I did apply to like multiple internships. For JRA, we had to write a research proposal. So we had to work on that. But some of the other internships that I applied to didn't really need a research proposal. They mainly needed like more of a letter of motivation as to why I was applying to this specific lab that I was applying to. So I remember I tried to apply for an internship via DAAD, which is like a DAAD, which is in Germany. I had to select three labs, and I had to write like three different motivation letters. So it's the core would stay the same. You have your basic motivation as to why you want to pursue the internship. You have your academic CV. But then why are you applying to each specific lab? If you apply to different labs, you would have to specify that what aspect of the research that is conducted in the lab interests you and like relates to what you're interested in and what you want to pursue further. So I'd say that's the aspect where like each of the applications would differ.
Great. Anybody else want to answer that question? Yeah, go on, Lakavi.
I think it's probably better if you do adapt it to each one, because I think of what Ray said, and it shows that you're, I guess, a bit more excited about their lab than if you'd written the same thing for each one. I think it goes back to one of the questions that I guess you asked about what did you write in your application. If you sound enthusiastic about their lab, they're going to be like, yes, I want this person in my lab. And if you've got specific things to it, it doesn't have to be like, I guess specifically, I've done this and this exactly matches to something else. It's more, I guess, they're looking about transferable skills. But I guess there might should be some things that I guess you won't take out from that lab. And if you mention that and you're specific to each one, then they can kind of see why you're applying to them and what your kind of intentions are. So, for example, let's say you've worked on a particular project with a specific technique. You could then say, oh, I want to apply to this lab because I've done this before, but I would like to, I guess, use it in a different setting. In that way, you're kind of showing that you're kind of looking at it multifaceted and you want to expand on the skill. But if you just, I don't know, I just said something that you said before, then it doesn't really sound like you've got purpose to what you're saying. It does sound quite stressful because obviously if you're applying to multiple internships, then you're going to have to write multiple letters of references or research proposals. But something I would say is probably you're kind of your CV is not going to change. It's just your intentions. So you can draft one, but then accordingly you can like swap things out, which is something I think I did and it was quite helpful.
Great, thanks. Anybody else? Yeah, go on, Daniel.
Yeah, I was just gonna say two things in terms of what I did in customizing it. Yeah, just like you were saying, I had one for the motivation thing. I had one template, the same thing, and then I would just change it to adapt to each one because I think that's for me it was a lot more time effective, especially because I think as well the most important thing was almost not necessarily that you're writing the whole thing to be very tailored to what the internship is, but that you've at least done some amount of reading and background and understanding of what they're actually doing in the lab, so that when you make those small customizations, that actually comes through. And that's again just about coming across as genuine and actually wanting to be in their lab and not just any lab. Even though you might want to be in any lab, you still can't come across like that, I suppose.
That's true. Thanks. Anyone else?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't applied to numerous internships, but what I will say is, I think there's a lot of pressure, say, if you want to work in a specific kind of lab, let's say Parkinson's. Like for me, Alzheimer's, I've never done any lab or any experience with working with Alzheimer's. I only knew the very basics of like Alzheimer's with like tau tangles and APP plaques. But I think that's what kind of drives people to be a little bit scared. It's you haven't got the experience, but that's okay. You can just as long as you I think it was the caveat you said about your intentions. It's definitely important to, even if you haven't got experience, to write your intentions and on why you're so passionate to work in this lab, even though you haven't got experience. And then for my application, I wrote stuff that could be quite similar. I mean, also, I've never worked with Drosophila before. So I wrote about anything, working with guinea pig ileum, a cockroach leg, but it wasn't quite the same, is what I'm saying. Like, it's fine to not have a direct experience. It's as long as you address your passion and your interests into why you want to do this specific lab, basically, yeah.
Amazing, thank you. Shall I go to the next question or does anyone else want to? Yeah, next question. Okay. This might be specific, but how did you guys prepare for interviews if you did it? And was there anything specific they were looking for a candidate in an interview? Go on, LaCarvey, go on.
I did have to do an interview for my program. It was quite stressful. I think me and my friends were all together when I got the email, and I was like, oh God, like I'm gonna have to prepare for an interview. Like, this is interesting. So I'm actually a medical student, and at the time, funny enough, I was applying for medicine. So I just did my interview for med school. So I think my skills weren't too rusty. But if you were to, have an interview, top tip would be to think about kind of motivational questions like, why this internship, why this program. So in that way I kind of brainstormed my answers and I thought about how I would answer them. So that was something. And sometimes they might ask you like a calculation question, so I did get one. I was thinking about questions they could do and I thought maybe they might. So if there is one, just think about kind of, brush up on your calculation questions, linked to the lab, like dilution series, whatever. But mine was mainly to do with my intentions, why this lab, why specifically the lab that I wanted to like work in. So again, I think just think about your letter of motivation and kind of make sure you kind of know it back to front so you're not saying something differently to what you've written. But at the same time, think about, I guess, skills or things that you want to work on. And also think about, I guess, mannerisms as well, which is something I completely forgot when it's an interview. Obviously, they want to see you and how you interact. So don't be too nervous, just be yourself. And yeah, I guess like I kind of envisioned myself as an intern there, and I thought, what would they want from me? And I just put that into the interview. But no, yeah, I think like normally, I guess when they do interviews, they've kind of got a pre like pre thoughts on who you are as a person. So it's not like you're going in blind. So obviously they want you if they do give you an interview. So just go in with that intention, and hopefully you should be fine.
Next question is also a bit specific. So, if you want to kind of change the question up a bit and do a more general answer, then that's fine. But the question is, as an international student, how can I get research opportunities that allow remote participation?
I might be able to answer that. Although I'm trying to understand in terms of remote participation, do they mean go back home and then work on their project, or just like remote online internships? Because I know I'm not sure about other, but like there's a Career Lab summer internship that one of my friends did, and that's an online internship, and so it's paid, it's over the summer, and it's under Sussex. So if they want to do an online internship and they're a Sussex student, they could do that. I know some people from JRA who had, it depends on the nature of their project, I suppose. Like if they're doing like a lab-based internship, which I'm assuming most neuroscience internships are usually are, they'd have to be there physically. But if it's something, it's more literature-based project or something like that, they could potentially do that online. So I'd suppose like it depends on the nature of their project, but also like there are like very few opportunities that provide for like an online internship. The other thing that I would say, if they plan on going back home and that's why they're asking for an online internship, one of the things that I usually do when I go back home is I try to look at like labs in universities in my city or like in my area back home, and try to find like places that might hire interns. It might not always be paid. Some places do allow you to work volunteers and unpaid intern, but yeah, it might be worth looking into that as well. So that's something I would say.
Great, thanks. I know Francesca, you had, an answer for this. Do you want to go?
So I don't know the ins and outs with the JRA, but I wanted to, because I had the Unique Plus internship, I wanted to see if I could try and do both. And for me, they wanted me to be able to attend the training days that they had. So I think that would be on the website. So you can see the specific training days, and they were pretty adamant that they wanted me to be there for those. But I think it might be a case to case on a case by case basis. So I think reaching out to the JRA team, if that's what you're interested in doing specifically, and just before even making your application, clarify when they would want you to be there, whether there was any way around it. I would just contact them and see, because you can definitely do a whole project online. Like the one I applied for, the project that I proposed was all data analysis, so I didn't need to be in a lab, but they wanted me to be there for certain days for the training.
Great. Okay, the next question is, were you able to work closely with your supervisor, and how did their guidance impact your work? Yeah, Daniel, do you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go. I worked very closely with my supervisor, I would say. To be honest, yeah, very close. Every part of the project, we would meet up probably once or twice a week, even sometimes, and we would go through it. She was great. She also invited me and had me speak to some of her colleagues too, and so they would like weigh in on the project. So I think it's probably quite lab dependent, but I kind of got to get, experience and learn from a lot of different people, a lot of different aspects of the project in that lab. So I think that was quite good.
So for me, I didn't work very closely with my supervisor. He's quite a busy man, but I did work very closely with a postdoc, And she was great. She was amazing. She was very helpful. To be fair, my project was quite complex for an undergrad, but whenever I had questions, she would answer, and she would tell us step by step what we're doing, what's it for. The whole lab as well was very supportive. I literally spoke to numerous people, even like the master students, oh, I need a little help with this, and they'd be so willing to help. So I think, like what Daniel said, it is a very lab by lab basis, because I have heard a different version with some other students at Unique Plus. But I was very lucky to have a very supportive lab. So yeah.
In my case, I did meet my supervisor like once a week. And he was quite supportive. We obviously like could meet that often because my supervisor doesn't have specifically like a lab space. It's more of like we use the EEG machine and everything else is done. Like the analysis parts, you don't need a lab for that. I did meet with my supervisor once a week, and he was quite supportive. He helped me like, 'cause as Clara said, similarly, like my project was quite complex for an undergrad. I decided to go with an extension of a PhD student's project, which was now that I think about it, not the best idea because it was a bit too complicated for me. But yeah, no, he was quite supportive. He helped me understand a lot of different concepts, mainly regarding like how EEG works, aspects of the analysis, because I was very new to it. And also like the PhD student that I was working with, he helped me through a lot of different things, ex like explaining me like aspects of the code and stuff like that, and helping me like help it, like actually just teaching me how to run EEG studies. I know my supervisor had like one of his other lab members, just like he asked him if he could like just for one session, if he could like be there and supervise me running an EEG study and help me out with it. And that was great. And also like people who use the equipment in the lab, there were people from like different there were different people as well. Like many people. And obviously we'd talk, and I could always ask them like if I had any doubts and stuff like that, because they were postdocs and master students. I could always ask any doubts that I had, and they were really supportive. So yeah.
Does anyone else want to go, or should I go for the next one?
I'm happy to go. I think mine was quite interesting. She definitely took on like a what's the words? Like a mental role for me as well, like really like trying to guide me through everything and like help with the imposter syndrome. And I think she related to a lot of like my experience. And that's partly why I think she encouraged the lab to like facilitate this internship. So that was quite cool. I think definitely like a widening participation aspect of it, of the Unique Plus program, meant that she, yeah, I hope that all internships would do this, but she was really like focused on trying to grow like confidence as well as skill. Yeah, so I think that was quite important for her. So I think, yeah, that was a good part of my internship.
I will also say, specifically to the Unique Plus program, myself and Francesca were in, as well as, a lab by lab basis, whether they're supportive or not. I will say, the team running the entire Unique Plus program, so it's not just science, there was also humanities, arts. They were very good. They had like talks about imposter syndrome. They had like I think it was weekly or every 2 weeks. The first week was all just like talking about like this field of science. Well, for us anyways, the field of science, what to expect and people's stories. And then after that introduction week, we then had like meetings. We'd come in and they'd ask us how it's going. It was very, very supportive. They were very, very attentive. And then when we had finished doing our presentations as well, they had like sessions and like, what have you learned? Did it go well? We want to know your feedback. So I think also the team at Unique Plus, and I would like to hope that other internship programs do this as well. They were really, really supportive and want to make sure everyone is getting the most out of the experience, I would say.
Amazing, thank you. So for the next question, it kind of goes off of what Ray and Clara were saying, that your projects were a bit complex for an undergrad project. So I was just wondering, did anyone face any challenges during their internship, and how did you overcome these?
I'll go. A big challenge for me at the start was obviously in the JRA we had to write a research proposal, and that was quite lengthy writing it. And as soon as we started, the mentor that was meant to be mentoring the project that I had prepared for by doing all this reading and research for the proposal had left. So my supervisor was essentially said to me, how about you do a different project? So then I had to just start a completely different project to the one I thought I would, which we talked about before, but it was kind of like with no warning. So it's going from expecting one thing to another. So it was quite a difficult thing. And I think have it, the guidance she gave in terms of helping me set it up and being a lot more specific there, that really helped. And it ended up very well in the end. And I'm glad I did that project instead. But yeah, it was definitely stressful start. But those things happen.
So for my project, so obviously I did it on Alzheimer's. I had just finished second year, and pretty much the only thing I had learned about Alzheimer's was, oh, there's tau tangles, oh, A beta plaques, and that's pretty much it. Disrupts axonal transport, and that was it. My project like specifically looked at familial genes and about the process misprocessing, aggregation, and all of that. And I wasn't very familiar with like the ins and outs of like, well, flies, for example, and also like the in-depth explanation on the characteristics of Alzheimer's. So for me, the hardest part of my project was the reading. Like, there was a lot of reading. Obviously, I hadn't start third year, so I had no idea how much reading, you're supposed to be doing. So yeah, the reading, and also, even though I was told why I'm doing everything, I had to, it's almost like making new connections. I had to make a new connection. Oh, okay, so like based off what I already knew, which is quite basic level Alzheimer's disease knowledge. So I had to go a bit beyond, like, oh, okay, so it can be sporadic, it can be familial. Oh, okay, I'm making this connection, and with microscope, with adding GFP, for example, to pick up on the microscope, and that's to show this. So I think for me, it was the understanding and making that connections. It's quite tricky, but then once for me, once I finally got to grasp with it. It was the most fulfilling thing in the world. It felt amazing. Like when you actually piece everything together and you feel, wow, like this is something I love doing, and I love the fact that I know this now, and I'm actually researching this. So even despite it having its major difficulties, I would also say it's so rewarding in the end. It's quite an amazing feeling. So yeah, basically.
Lakavi, do you want to go? So yeah, I think with the lab that I was working in, there was no way for me to prepare for it because it was a dry lab and it was based off me learning that skill that I was looking at over those 8 weeks. So I think that's something to consider if you are working in a dry lab, the fact that you can't really prepare for it. There is literature, but I guess that'll give you some background knowledge, but you're mainly there to kind of learn about it. So I was like super duper nervous. Some of the interns, I think, on the first week was like talking about the research papers that they were reading. And I was like, at least you guys have papers. I have nothing to read. There's nothing for me to prepare about or do. But I realized I just slotted in the first week. And I think that's what adrenaline, I guess, like academic pressure does to you sometimes. It just, I guess, allows you to just kind of power through it. And I think by the third week, when I was talking to friends and family, they were like, oh, how are you doing? And I was like, oh yeah, that's fine. I was doing XYZ. And they were like, oh wow, like that sounds interesting. And I was like, yeah, no, I think I finally feel like I'm a part of the lab and I do have a purpose. So yeah, don't be afraid about the fact that you sometimes can't prepare for things. But I think that's the beauty of doing an internship because you want to kind of expose yourself without kind of fully putting yourself in there. It's just short term. It's just 8 weeks. And I think at EPLS they kept on saying, oh, you can really tell if you don't want to, go into a career with research because you just won't like it. So again, it just shows maybe this, if you aren't enjoying it, maybe it's just not the lab for you, or it's not the kind of research you want to look into, and maybe you might want to look into something else. And again, there's time, there's internships, there's things to do. I think when you're an undergrad, you can always just go into things. And I think if you ever do face kind of that reality, then don't be afraid to just like go and step out and do something else.
For me, I feel like it's kind of like a mix of what the Kavi said and like also the fact that the aspects that I kind of found really hard was I did have a pretty good understanding of the theory because it was fairly easier to understand, but when it came to like analyzing the data and the techniques that were being used to do that. That was where I struggled a lot because, especially, one of the things that overcomplicated my project was that the technique that was being used had just so, like, had really less amount of literature on it. And the literature that was there was incredibly complex. And it was just really hard for me to understand, which I would also like to point out, like, if you're applying for internships, don't think you need to apply for a really fancy one for it to look good on your CV. It will look good on your CV, but also like it will become a lot harder and it will like create a lot of like unnecessary stress if you overcomplicate your entire project to the point that I did, unfortunately. And it will kind of just like it won't be as fun. So like one of the good things that like my supervisor pointed out when he saw me struggling with this, he's like, it's fine, like I don't expect you to understand. Like a lot of like PhD students are struggling to understand this. This is a hard project. Would he, because for the JR we need to present a poster as well. So what he asked me to do is like I had a sizable amount of research that I already did. There was just one aspect that I was struggling with. So he said that you can present what you have and what you understand properly, and what you don't, you can just add on that, like, this is an aspect that I don't really understand, but I would like to work on it further. And is something that happens a lot in internships. Sometimes you don't get results. Sometimes your project does not pan out as you plan or intend for it to be. So, yeah, that's something that I would like to point out.
I think I just had something quick. I think this is maybe unique to the program Clara and I did, that we were like away from home. We were staying in Oxford, and they put a lot of like events on for us, like a lot of social things. We were living in kind of student accommodation, and so for me it was like hard to balance really trying to put everything into the project and also make the most of the like short 7 weeks we had there in a really cool place with really cool events planned with really cool people. So it was kind of, I think it was a really good thing for me to learn how to like, I guess it's just comes down to like work-life balance. How do I like, give myself time to work hard and also just enjoy my time there and make the most of being there as well. But it was a great like thing to push me to do that more because it was so short, so I had to make the most of it. Yeah.
So the next question is, were there any particularly valuable skills that you developed from this experience? Yeah, go on, Lakavi.
I think for me, something I really enjoyed was the RStudio program. I think I talked about it earlier. It was amazing because I think we just did 2 weeks of, I guess, like coding with RStudio and then learning to present data, visualizing it. And it's quite good because I think it's one of those things that it is taught, I think, in undergraduate programs, but I'm not in the kind of level of detail that is kind of thought about when it comes to literature. And I think piecing the idea of kind of how data in real life looks like, but then how it would be put into a research paper was really nice. And I guess the intention of having that specific kind of program put within EPLS is so that when we were presenting any data that we looked at, people use those skills for us from our studio to present their data. And it was really nice seeing that before versus after, kind of seeing how like their story with their time at the internship had progressed into something that could actually, like, I guess, be put in the paper, like, with a lot of other things put together. That was really nice. Something else, I think Francesca was talking about the unique program with the networking. We had something similar at Cambridge, and we actually did have the opportunity of going to the DTP symposium at the time. So we were able to look at a lot of PhD students' presentations of their project, which was quite interesting, just seeing the way they presented their work. I think something I learned from it was like the power of animations and BioRender. They always talked about it, but I just think seeing it in real life with the way that like the project was done, just seeing like the pipetting and I guess the way that like they actually did it, it just helped me visualize how it would be like in the lab. So those were, I think, key things that I took from it. And also the importance of I guess if you're feeling nervous, something I realize is just having like a two-line thing just memorized in my head about how I would explain myself and the stuff that I do when it comes to networking. I was so scared to talk to anyone who kind of, I guess, was part of that academic research world. And I was like, oh gosh, like how is someone like me going to talk to someone as big as them with all the stuff and the accolades that they've done? But I noticed that when I had that kind of line of being like, oh hi, my name is so and so, and I'm studying this at so and so, and I'm interested in this, whatever. It just made that initial conversation just a little less daunting. It still is daunting. I think to this day, I still find those kind of conversations a bit scary. But kind of warming up and just having that just in the back of my head, just in case I froze, was quite nice. And in that way, I think I did network quite a bit, and I really enjoyed talking to people and hearing the experiences and seeing how maybe they didn't perhaps like the PhD project that they chose, or maybe they did, and they were able to give tips and advice. So I think if you were to go into any program or speak to any academic, kind of think about the things or ask them for advice in terms of what they wish they knew during their undergrad, because I think those are like probably the most priceless things you can get like on a program. And again, if you want to apply for like a master's or a PhD, those are things that I think tangible and you can take away and kind of think about over that summer when you start applying in third year.
So as I said before, we had to read a lot of research papers. So maybe as well as, other lab techniques, I would say the biggest skill I have learned is either reading research papers, which I can now do like a boss, or networking. Like it was really, really good for with Unique, especially our department, mine and Francesca's. It was the department of DPAG. Don't ask me, I forgot the whole thing. But they had this like street party, and it was really nice of my lab to like say, oh, come along, talk to people. I spoke to so many people. So there was that. And then also Unique Plus kind of organized like a bunch of people together. And also because we were staying on a campus, it's kind of different in Oxbridge where they have colleges. But say if I had lunch in my college, St. John's, I would bump into people. Oh, hello, are you're in the same department? So and obviously all the events and stuff. So networking, reading research paper, and then just the lab techniques and data analysis and stuff like that. So I'd say that's the biggest skills I've developed during my internship.
This is more of like a soft skill again, but I think the skill for me that paid off, I've seen the biggest payoff so far, is like asking questions early. I kind of let things sit where I didn't quite hear everything they said or really like understand everything that was explained to me. And if you don't acknowledge that and ask them the questions, it can snowball a little bit. And in my lab now, for my third year project, I just went in with all the stupid questions. And it's meant that I got a much deeper understanding of my project. And I could contribute and actually like participate in the lab and come up with ideas, which For my internship, it was not possible. I was always like trying to keep up with what was going on, but I think having that before my third year project enabled me to like just engage with it on a whole nother level. So I think that's the biggest thing that I took away from the internship.
Literally same. My first and second year, I literally did not answer any questions. I was just like kind of the same where I'd let it fester because I didn't want to look dumb. And then and then it'll get worse and worse as it goes on, and then you will actually look stupid. So I would say that's another skills that I learned as well, is to actually ask questions. Don't let it get in the situation where you're staying quiet. And then it builds up, and then when you have all these questions, then you don't know what you're doing in the most crucial time. But also something else I would like to say is there's never a dumb question. Like if you're struggling, everyone struggles in science. It's kind of the whole concept. Just ask, and then you'll understand the more you get on. But I'd say that's another one for me too.
I was just going to add to that, to be honest. Yeah, just asking questions. I think also asking questions that you feel like are dumb, learning things that you feel like you should already know, and then you realize, hang on a second, why should I already know this? There's no way, right? And also just in general, kind of learning, because you go into it and you're like, okay, I'm going into a lab. These people do research. This is real stuff. Like, how do I talk to them in this context? You've never done that before, really, outside of a classroom. At least I hadn't. So actually learning how to have that dynamic with, supervisors and postgrad students and talking about that stuff and just kind of settling into that is quite, it sounds, weird, but like that's a big thing that I feel like, aside from all the hard skills, like all the programming and stuff too. So yeah, that's what I reckon.
I'll just add one more thing. I think it was really cool learning that maybe they didn't have all the answers as well. So my supervisors, like, I'd ask questions and there were some that they were like, I don't know. Like, we don't know the answer to that, or let me Google that. And I think that was really valuable for me as well. They're not these like all-knowing beings. They don't know everything about their field. That's what science is about. So you're just part of that at an earlier stage. So that was pretty cool to recognize as well.
Literally, one more thing I want to say about that as well is if you're asking questions, like it makes you look more passionate about what you're doing. If you're just standing there and you're not saying anything, you're not engaging. Well, you are, but you're not seeming like you're engaging. There'll be assumptions that, oh, you either know what you're doing or you're just kind of bored. But if you just ask all the questions you want. It literally makes you look more as if you're fully engaged in this. You want to get every little bit correct. Well, not really, but you just want to know more, and that's important in especially our field of neuroscience, where we don't know anything pretty much. Like we're still trying to figure out most of the functions of the brain. So, so it makes you look a bit more into your project, I would say.
That everyone? Okay, I'll go to the next question. Since this is the last question, I think if everyone could give a little summary for this would be great. Did your internship influence your career goals for after graduation, or narrow down the specific area of neuroscience that you want to pursue, or any other field that you want to pursue?
I can go for this one. It's a mix of both because like I went into the internship knowing that this is a topic that I'm really interested in. But when I first applied for my internship, it was more of like I read about this really interesting topic. I really enjoy reading about this interesting topic. I want to see if I enjoy working on this interesting topic. And that's just kind of like solidified. And another thing that while doing my internship I found is that like it during both my internship and my dissertation project, like third year project, I found like while doing the project there are like aspects like there are like gaps in the literature that you're reading, you're trying to find background information and you're like, wait, you don't find you or you think about something. For example, like I remember one of the things, sorry, my speech is very disjointed, but best way I can ex explain this is that for one of my participants for my study, I didn't realize that, given that it's an attention study, we should have realized this, but we had someone with ADHD, and they were like, because ADHD is an attention deficit condition, there was clashes with like the task and them doing like they were not able to properly perform the task, which is like to no fault of theirs. But then it also made me think like, wait, how would like AD like this specific like the area of predictive processing like work in neurodivergent people, specifically with like attention deficit conditions and stuff like that. So like you often sort of like come across different aspects of the research while going at it as well that might interest you, that might be slightly different from the original questions. Speaking of which, I have probably lost track of what the original question was, and I've just gone off on a rant of my own, so I'm gonna stop for now.
That was great, thank you. Anybody else?
I'll go. In terms of influencing future, what we're doing next, what I'm doing next. I went into it wanting to do it because I wanted to know, because I thought, okay, I like the idea of doing research. I'm interested in these things. I want to know if I would like a career in researching these sorts of things. And really, it was just a way of validating that because I kind of already thought I would, and I've come out of it. Now I know I do. So it's what it's done is it's given me more confidence in what I probably already was going to do anyway, which is pursue like postgraduate study. So that's what it's done for me. It hasn't decided what I'm going to do, but it's given me confidence to do it, I guess. Confidence that I want to do it.
I think I'd say the same. It was also maybe a thing of like, I want to do this, I'm curious about doing this, but am I capable? And I guess this process kind of helped me show myself that maybe I am, and that I could see myself in that kind of environment. And it also helped inform my third year project, which was cool. I didn't originally get a lab-based project, and because of this experience, I pushed to see if I could change, and I did, and I got a lab project. But if I hadn't had this research experience, I might have been like, well, I might not be great at it. That might be a risk because it's assessed. This wasn't assessed. There was no risk at being bad at it. So I think that was really beneficial and has showed me that I want to pursue research further. In what form, I don't know yet, but it's definitely something I know I want to do.
Just to add a bit onto what Francesca said and Daniel said, like, yeah, it's kind of just validated what I want to do in the future. And also, like, I was not sure if I was capable of working in the lab and handling the pressure of like working on like a fully fledged research project. So yeah, it just made me realize that I do enjoy working in the lab setting a lot. In fact, like it's a lot better than working like in sort of it's a nice change of pace from like an academic setting where you just sat by yourself and you're working on things. And so I realized I really do enjoy working in the lab setting, and that makes me realize that I do want to like pursue this sort of career, like an academic career further.
For me, ever since I was younger, I knew I always wanted to help people. And then over time, I mean, I did A-level psychology. I knew I wanted to do something with the brain. And then when I started this course, it felt right, but I wasn't quite sure what exactly. I knew I didn't want to work directly with people, otherwise I would have done medicine or so this experience, again, like everybody else, it's confirmed to me that for me, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to work as a researcher because it feels right. I didn't know at all what field. You have like, oh, I'm interested in this, interested in this. But the thing with undergrad is it's quite surface level. Like it might be interesting, but you don't know how interested you'll be until you do something a bit more in depth. And And when I worked with Alzheimer's, it's now got me out of chokehold, honestly. I love this whole field of neuroscience. I love neurodegeneration now. So for me, it's definitely consolidated that I do want to work with at least neurodegeneration, preferably Alzheimer's. But then also I do pharmacology modules, and that's really, really like it aligns with me very perfectly. So I know I want to work with neurodegeneration, and I also want to incorporate something with pharmacology, potentially like developing drugs. So I would say it definitely has, if anything, pushed me in the right direction and got me thinking about what now next. So I know I want to work in a lab. I know I want to work in this particular bit, and then it's got me thinking about what's next then.
I think for me, my story kind of ended a bit differently at the end of my internship because I found out I got into medicine, which was a bit of a dream of mine, I think, before starting my course, studying medical neuroscience. So I think I was like, oh God, like, what am I going to do to develop this interest? I really enjoyed it. But funny enough, it was in psychiatry. So obviously, that's the link with medicine. So as soon as I started med school and I kind of went through my teaching, I was like, okay, fine. I've like now find this newfound interest in clinical medicine, and then I guess obviously my interest in neuroscience. And I think through doing the psychiatry lab or like doing my, I guess like thinking about my interest with psychiatry, it kind of marries both of my interests in both kind of like Clara said, like helping people, but like those clinical skills with like history taking and really looking at patients and seeing why they're sick and poorly and giving them the treatment, but at the same time kind of looking into that treatment or looking into the science that we have already to see how we can build on that. So in that way, I think as a medical student, I think for us at BSMS in fourth year, we do a research project. So I'm really looking forward to that and seeing how I can incorporate my skills in that. But then there's also like integration opportunities, and there's so many ways to get into research because most of the time, I wouldn't say most of the time, but more often than not, you do have a lot of doctors who are academics, academic researchers, or they're into teaching and they also do research as well. So I really enjoy the fact that I think with the career that I was going to have in the future, there's multiple things that I can get myself into, which I'm looking forward to because as a person, I don't like to do one thing at a time. I like to do little bits and pieces so that I'm not fully bored and there's something to look forward to. So yeah, thinking of potentially going into an academic research career, but we shall see because I think at the moment medicine puts us into so many different things. So I always find new fascinations every week and I'm looking into things. So yeah, one thing for sure, I hope there's research, but I don't know what else there's going to be, but I think that's exciting bit.
Was that everyone? Yeah, great. Okay. I think we're going to finish it off. Does anyone have any final thoughts they want to add or anything they want to say to future students who want to apply for an internship that they haven't already said? Yeah, go on, Clara.
You're so worth it, and like you are here for a reason, honestly. You're not the only one to have imposter syndrome. I think that's just the way further education is. You find yourself comparing other pe to other people, and then you see for the first time you have these like postdocs, PIs, and it feels very overwhelming, and a lot of people like myself and like others here as well. We do then like reflect on ourselves and in a negative way, but just remember, go and look for an internship, go and explore, be curious. Don't carry on thinking you're not good enough, because you are. You got into your course, you got into whether it's neuroscience, it doesn't have to be in science, literally you got into your degree for a reason, and there's great things to come, I guess. That's what I would say.
Okay, and on that note, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us and taking time out of your day to actually come and talk to us about your internships. You all gave some really valuable insights and advice for future applicants. So, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for organizing this.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me all the way from Bristol.
Thank you.